Smutters.
Hey there, all you boobies out there.
Boobies? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is our...
Boobies. Boobies.
Do I need to censor this, or no. Is that what you're doing?
No.
Okay.
You going to talk about the pumpkin patch again?
Pumpkin patch. Oh, my gosh. What was...
Nothing. Yeah. So, hope everybody had a good weekend Halloween adventure. I know most people are going to go trick-or-treating on actual Halloween.
Yes.
In a couple of days. However, this weekend there was a lot of companies and businesses that did, you know, trunk-or-treats and had the little kiddos out. And there was a lot of Halloween parties, stuff like that. And actually, my company participated in it as well. Literally went... spent like $150 in candy for like 3 hours. It was insane, like ridiculous.
And that's like a small town that you were in. So
yeah,
just imagine like these big towns that did it.
Try that in a small town.
Yeah. Also, I didn't tell you what I saw tonight when me and Ashlyn were coming back from getting food. We were
my
like,
my employer didn't let me put up a vending machine either.
To get paid for Halloween candy. That's on her.
Yep.
We're doing it though.
Anyways.
So we were coming back from getting food and there was somebody like walking down the street on that back road, you know? What's that?
Yeah. 2013.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, we were taking a back road on the way home and there was somebody walking down the street. They were dressed as Pinhead, just walking by themselves. And I was like, should I stop and take a picture? Should I just keep on driving? Because it was like, it looked great, like how they were dressed. But it was kind of scary that they were just walking on a dark road by themselves, you know? And Ashlyn, she was like, are they starting the whole clown thing again? So.
Oh, God, I hope not.
That was terrifying.
Yeah, because I don't play around with that shit. And guys, if y'all want to try that clown shit, y'all need to realize there are people that do open carry and conceal carry, and they will shoot you.
Remember? Like,
that stuff scares people, and they will draw and shoot you.
Remember when I got chased by one?
Yes.
Oh my gosh, you guys. So when the whole clown thing was going on, the kids were having like a bunch of friends over. So we were all up late at night. And I went to the gas station to grab some Cokes or whatever because we were running low, all the kids. And I was coming home, and these two clowns were, like, sitting on the side of the road next to their car. And I made eye contact with them when I was driving by because I was like, what is that?
We're not talking about my exes either. These were real clowns.
Y'all, they jumped in the car and sped up and started chasing me. In the end, like, I'm almost home. And Troy texts me, and I just saw it was a text, and it said, I see you. And I was like, I thought it was them, but you had my location on, and you're like, I see. I was like, what? And you're like, I see where you are. And that's when I was like, they're following me, and I sped up, and when I turned in, they, like, didn't stop. They, you know, kept on going. Y'all, it was so scary, and the part that pissed me off the most, because I usually do have some kind of weapon in my car. I could not, because I have, like, a big knife or whatever. So, I couldn't find my knife in my car. Huh. That's what made me mad. Like, what if they would have hit my car and I had no way to defend myself? You know what I mean? So, it was very scary. And the whole clown situation, we aren't doing that. We don't play. Not in the South.
Keep in mind, she won't carry a gun. I've tried.
Well, that's because I don't have a permit.
You don't need one anymore.
Oh, I thought you did.
Not anymore.
Oh, okay.
Constitutional carry.
Oh. Well, give me my AR to put in the... anyway, Troy found something tonight, and this is kind of crazy. It's another Mandela effect.
Yes. That's insane. I've sang that song my whole life. All 28 years of it. And it's always been... what I thought it was. There's no way it's changed.
What was the song? It was that... It was I'll Be Home for Christmas. Is that right?
Yeah.
And so I get home and Troy's like, what is the rest of the song where, you know, they sing, I'll be home for Christmas. He was like, what's the rest of it? And I was like,
here, hold on, I'll play it for you guys. What is it, guys? I'll be home for Christmas. And listen. You tell me if you remember it differently.
What the fuck? No. No. It's a whole lot of nope. This Mandela effect shit is getting out of control.
Yeah. I remember it as you can count on me.
Yep.
Not you can plan on me. I don't know what's going on. Is our universe colliding with a parallel universe? I have no idea where they sing their songs wrong, but it has always been You Can Count on Me. For me, it has.
This came out in 1943.
Okay, and it's changed somehow.
Yeah.
Now, that's one that's really crazy to me because, as you said, we have sang that song our whole lives.
Yeah.
And, it's in a lot of movies. So what do you guys think? Let us know. How do y'all sing the song? Because I've always sang it that way. So anyway, and Troy brought up the point that there have been,
it's been changed,
a lot more Mandela effects going on. You sent me one about Britney Spears, the Baby One More Time video.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't fall for that one, though. I was like, no, her skirt's always been black. Because they thought that she wore a plaid skirt. And I was like, no, it's a black skirt. Because I always thought when I saw the video that they should have done a plaid skirt instead of a black skirt. But yes, there's that going on. Halloween's Tuesday, y'all. What are you going to be?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I actually thought about doing something, though. Like what? Something simple. I mean, even if it's like a little cape or, you know, I've got some old costumes. I could always be a Jedi. You know, I saw a cool one at the Trunk or Treat that we did. Dude was dressed as a Jedi and he had like this blue thing caped over him.
Yeah.
So he was a Force ghost.
I love that idea because you like actually took a picture and sent it to me and I was like, he's a Force ghost. That's amazing. I'm going as the Wicked Witch. I really wanted to change it because we just watched the Five Nights at Freddy's movie. And it was really good, y'all. If y'all are into Five Nights at Freddy's like I am, watch the movie. I loved it. It was a little different from the lore, but that's okay. It was still a fantastic movie and I loved it. Troy didn't watch it because he didn't care anything about it.
No, I was playing my game.
I think you hate Five Nights at Freddy's anyway. All the screaming you used to hear when me and the kids used to play it.
Yeah,
so,
they got on my nerves.
Yeah. But,
cool that, you know, the kids is all about the kids and you got into it.
I still have the games on my phone to play. I can't get past level 2 because it scares me too much. So, anyway, we have a super, what is that?
A 3D printed rock lobster.
Rock lobster? What is that on?
But it's really the rock's face. Pretty cool. I probably have seen on enough internet today.
Well, so tonight we are doing a story within a story, I guess. We're going to talk about the veil thinning on Halloween. Okay?
There's so many people believe in that, too.
I'm getting to be a believer. And also, we're going to do the Hoya Bashu.
Also, not to interrupt, but we have forgotten, Matthew Perry passed last night.
Oh, yeah, he did.
Like, totally sad. I sent you that picture of him in the hot tub, too. That was, like, where he died. And
it was so sad.
It's awful. Like, really awful.
But also, who took that picture?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it could have been, like, he done it himself with, like, you know, the time thing. But I don't know.
I don't know. It's really strange to me and very sudden. They're saying there was no foul play or anything like that. he just drowned in his hot tub. And that is very tragic. Everybody, I think, loves Matthew Perry. He was in Friends. He was Chandler Bing.
Several movies, too.
Yeah, he was in so much stuff. And it's just, it's an awful tragedy. And, you know, I hope he didn't just, I don't see how it happened. They said there was no drugs or anything in his system. There wasn't foul play. So I don't really understand how it happened. Maybe it's
really sad.
It is really sad.
Not to interrupt you, but there's one of the things that happened.
I'm glad you said that. The other part of the story that we're doing is the Hoya Bashu Forest. And you've never heard of that one, have you? It's very cool. So let's dive on in and we'll get to talking about it. So, tonight on our Halloween special, we are going to talk about the thinning of the veil. And what that means is the spirit world collides with the earthly realm on Halloween. But to make our special a little bit better, we are talking about another story. As I said, a story within a story. And since the veil is so thin, we're going to hop over to Romania, Transylvania to be exact, and we're going to learn about the Hoya Bashu Forest, one of the world's top haunted places. Around this time of year, legend has that the veil between the earthly plane and the spiritual world is thin. This means the two realms collide, and it's easier for spirits to cross over and walk among the living. It also means souls that are ready to move on are prepped for an exit. The curtain is believed to start to thin as the days get shorter and the nights stretch longer, which means...
Oops, sorry. And you can already tell, too, like the days are getting shorter.
Yeah, which this means that it's the perfect time. And it's also right there with Halloween. Many cultures observe this transition with celebrations and holidays to mark the beginning of winter. Lore has it that it is easier to communicate with spirits around this time, like the spirits of your loved ones. The Mexican celebration of Dia de los Muertos is observed on November 1st and 2nd. This holiday honors and recognizes the souls of those passed on. It is believed they visit their earthly families on these dates. Now, on these days, whoever is celebrating, they decorate their home altars with flowers, candles, favorite food, and pan de muerto, which is bread of the dead. Families will go to cemeteries and have picnics and play festive music. This is also a Gaelic festival called, I looked it up and forgot. I think it's like Samhain or something like that. It's a festival of the dead, and it also coincides with the time, marking the end of the harvest season and ushering in the darker half of the year. It is celebrated October 31st through November 1st. Now, what I'm getting at, guys, is that this is celebrated all over the world, and it has been going on for ever, pretty much. And the thing is, it all starts around the same time. So, you can kind of start celebrating on Halloween and keep going to November 2nd. Now, Troy and I have had some interesting things happen the past few days, right?
About what?
Our house.
Oh, yeah.
You had sent me something, and I posted it.
You posted it?
Yeah. Let me find it. It was about the veil being thin, but...
Oh, I thought you were talking about when I told you it smelled like rotten eggs.
No, I didn't post that. Anyways, it was signs about the veil being thin, and one of them was your electricity.
What about it?
Things will cut off and cut back on and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Like, it'll start acting kind of crazy. Well, y'all, in our house, we have had some strange things going on. And I really wanted to talk about this while we were talking about the veil being thin, because stuff has just started happening while the veil is thin at our house. And we have a TV upstairs. It hasn't worked in, like, how long?
Over a year.
Like, I've been working on this thing, trying to get it to come on, because it's our living room TV, so we can't really go in our living room and watch TV, because it just will not turn on. Y'all, I walked in the living room the other day, and it cut on. Okay? And I'm, like, freaking out. I'm so excited. Didn't think anything of it, you know? I was like, oh, it's finally working, you know? Me being me. So I text Troy, and then it cut back off, and then I finally got a picture of it, so I had proof, and sent it to him. And then our little girl runs in, and she's like, our TV's working upstairs, out of nowhere, y'all. So it's been doing this, cutting off and cutting right back on. I don't know what's going on. That could be a coincidence, right, y'all? Like, I get it. Maybe it's a coincidence, you know. But then the other night, Troy's sitting there, and he goes, oh my God, what is that? He has 3 deep scratches on the back of his legs. Are you with me?
Yeah, it happened to me.
Like, these scratches weren't just like he scratched his leg and like it was red. They were deep and looked like they were probably bleeding. So that's when, of course, I started like, you know, immediately I was like, it's a demon. And Troy's like, no, it's not. So we've got that. Well, then that just scared me what you were looking at. Well, then like I was asleep and I heard something upstairs, pretty loud thump. It was super early in the morning. And I was like, oh, it's his mom getting ready for work, whatever. Cause his mom stays with us. And, but then I was like, wait a minute, why is she up? She doesn't have to work today. So later on, I went upstairs and one of the paintings that I made fell off its hook that it's been on for 2 years and hit the floor. That's weird, yeah. Right? So then I go to work and Troy texts me and he's like, the house smells like rotten eggs right now. Now, if any of y'all watch Supernatural, Supernatural is like our Bible for all things paranormal.
Well, a lot of it's true.
Yeah, a lot of it's true.
Well, not true, but you know what I mean.
I mean, it goes with the lore, I guess you could say. So their thing was when there was a demon infestation or something like that, was it would smell like rotten eggs or sulfur is what they were getting at. But it smells like rotten eggs. So Troy's like, the house smells like rotten eggs. And by the time I got home, it was just gone. So what is going on at our house, you guys? Is it cause the veil is thin? Cause I'm starting to be a true believer about this.
A believer.
And you know, then, you know, Troy heard some thumps upstairs and his mom wasn't home or whatever. And it sounded like it was coming from her room. And I just did not want to mess with it. I was like, oh, the cat's probably playing in there or something, you know. And he's like, oh, her door's not open, though. And I was like, maybe it is. I was like, I'm too tired to even think about if our house is haunted right now. What's thumping around upstairs in his mom's empty bedroom? And
whatever it is, needs to pay rent.
Right. And so that happened. And I don't know, have y'all had any crazy experiences since the veil has supposedly started to thin? Because we sure have. And it's starting to get to me because it's started touching Troy, getting him. And y'all know what I've always said in the possession stories that we've done. They will do scratches in groups of 3 mocking the Holy Trinity. So, is that what they're doing with the scratch marks on the back of Troy's legs? That's the first thing that came to my mind. And of course, Troy's like, shut up. I probably just scratched. But he didn't do it without knowing because there was blood. So, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I don't know what happened either.
But it did get kind of scary. It's kind of calmed down a little bit, and I am very happy about that. Now, once I say something, I'm sure something new will happen.
Better be paying rent.
Better be paying that rent. So, going right along, I just wanted to let y'all know what's been going on with us. So, let's see. Now, the pagan religious festival originated from ancient Celtic spiritual practices, and many observe this in the U.S. as Halloween on October 31st, which grew out of the pagan festival. So people would even wear costumes, and they would light bonfires to ward off the spirits and the ghosts to try to scare them off. So that is where we get our Halloween costumes from.
Oh.
Isn't that pretty neat?
That's cool.
I do love that. So guess what? If you look down on Wiccans and witchcraft and all that, and you participate in Halloween, then you are celebrating a pagan holiday. So, boom, mic drop. just had to throw that in. As you can see, these celebrations have gone back many, many centuries in many, many cultures.
Many, many moons.
Many, many. So maybe they're onto something. And on All Hallows Eve to November 2nd, be sure to talk to your deceased loved ones, because who knows? They may be close enough to hear you. Right?
I guess. If that's what you say.
Y'all, we got him believing in aliens. We can get him believing in this stuff. I know we can.
I never said I believed in aliens. I never came out and said I believe in aliens.
I think I could probably find an episode. I will find an episode where you believe in aliens.
I said it's weird, probabilities, stuff like that, but I've never said I believe in aliens.
I'm going to find it now.
Find it.
Challenge accepted. So, now that we've gone over that, let's get into the... I had to write down how to pronounce this because it's spelled so crazy. The Hoya Bashu Forest.
The Hoya.
This forest is located in Cluj County, Transylvania. And, y'all, I got to thinking, I was like, what could... Because I wanted it to be super scary for Halloween, right? And we've already done all the universal monsters that everybody knows. And so I started thinking of Transylvania. And I was like, Transylvania, we've already done like Dracula and Vlad. But Transylvania, many people think of Transylvania when they think of just spooky stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's not putting Transylvania down. I think that's awesome. And I would love to go to Transylvania one day. So I started looking up haunted places in Transylvania, and this forest popped up, and it is crazy, you guys. The forest is known as the Bermuda Triangle of Romania. It covers about 618 acres, and as I said, is known as one of the world's most haunted places because of all the unexplainable events that happen there. Yes. It's actually named after a shepherd who mysteriously disappeared with all 200 of his sheep. So, a shepherd disappeared, that's one thing. But 200 of his sheep went with him, never to be found.
That pissed me off.
Well, like, where did they go?
Aliens.
I knew it.
It was aliens.
Well, you're not far. There are many legends of the forest where people go in and they come out and they don't remember what happened. So, my notes are kind of everywhere.
People, I didn't get a chance to get your notes this time.
I know. Well, there wasn't a lot to get on these notes. People believe it to be under a powerful curse and even a place where the devil wanders free. Drawn by the stories of the forest, a biologist started studying the strange occurrences in the 1950s. He reported feeling constantly accompanied and watched by some presence that he called, quote, the shadows. These shadows would sometimes take the shape of a couple, a man and a woman, who would disappear into thin air as soon as they caught sight of him. He somehow managed to catch the man on camera right after the woman had disappeared, just as the man was disappearing himself. The photograph depicts the peculiar being with a stub for an arm and with parts of its body being translucent, which is a phenomenon referred to as dematerialization. Sadly, there aren't many pieces of evidence, as the better part of the scholar's collection was stolen and destroyed shortly after he passed away. Imagine that.
Kind of like our returning to the moon documents.
Right. So, the forest did gain notoriety in the 1960s when biologist Alexandru Sift photographed a flying object in the sky above the forest. He was in the woods trying to figure out the trees in the forest. They have an odd shape, and we'll get to those trees in a few. While he was walking through the forest, he started to hear teeth chattering, which it made me... No, like, it made me think... I don't know if you watched... Did you watch Hellraiser when you were growing up?
Yes.
You know that one... the Hellraiser guy's friend, the teeth chattering person.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of that. So, there we go. Anyway, the further he walked, he saw shadows and felt them following him. He heard children. He heard giggling, and he was starting to feel sick. He was trying to make it to a clearing in the forest where nothing would grow. While walking, he saw something flying in the sky, and it was a silver and saucer shaped. Then he got a few pictures. And actually, I can show you those pictures.
You have the photos.
I have the photos. And I'll post these on Instagram, you guys. Except I've done a ton of screenshots since I got the, here they are. Here's the picture. So, there's that. What do you think?
Nothing about it.
What do you think about it?
I don't think anything about it.
Nothing. Okay. After spending some time in the forest, he came out with burns all over him and a high fever, which, by the way, happens to a lot of people that go into the forest. Now, when I saw that he came out with burns and a high fever, it made me think of radiation. Do you think... Because in a lot of stories about UFOs, they end up getting radiation poisoning. So, do you think he could have gotten radiation poisoning from maybe a UFO?
Probably not.
It's going to be one of those nights then. Now, when people go into woods, into the forest, they feel anxious and agitated. They also feel like they are being watched and followed, and they even lose track of time. They have burns, they get sick, and have scratches on their bodies. People even get pushed down. People have also seen lights at the edge of the forest, but when they use thermal imaging to see if it's people or fire, nothing is there. Because with thermal imaging, you use temperature and it would show up. So they think the lights are ghosts walking around. They think they are the peasants. They think they're actually peasants because in the Middle Ages, hundreds of people were taken out there and killed. Locals say that some people even go into the forest to hang themselves. People see faces and spirits that show up in pictures. They hear screams and electronics stop working. The trees in the forest are a really strange shape. I'm going to show you the trees real quick. That's the trees.
Oh, those are cool. I've seen that somewhere before.
So, they are really strange shape. They're curved at the bottom, and sometimes they look burnt. And the trees even start bending and moving without wind. They grow in a clockwise pattern, and scientists have no idea why. As I said, I'll post pictures of these on Instagram too. It looks like they're trying to get you, is what people say. Next, we have the clearing in the middle of the forest. Nothing grows there. It's called the circle. People have tried to grow things and it just won't. They even tested the soil and it's exactly the same as the rest of the forest. There's no reason things shouldn't grow. Some people think it's a portal to hell. They also think a UFO landed there. But people say the closer they get to the circle, more things start happening. Like the voices, apparitions, scratches, and feeling sick get more intense the closer you get. But the thermal energy is the hottest there than anywhere else. I wrote in my notes, it's like the upside down from Stranger Things. Oh. Many people think the whole forest is a portal and bends time along with the trees. People lose time thinking it's only been about 10 minutes, but it's actually been about 4 hours. There's also a story of a 5-year-old girl who disappeared in the forest. 5 years later, she walked out wearing the same clothes and hadn't aged a day. There's also a story about a woman who is reported missing, and she had a 15th century coin in her pocket, and years later she reappeared and they knew it was her because she still had that 15th century coin in her pocket. So next I have a couple of stories about it.
What? Why'd you look at me like that?
I was just looking at you. So, here it is. My grandmother was Romanian, and she had some of the scariest damn stories I have ever heard. We only visited her twice, and I was very young, but I do remember the story she told me that has stuck with me to this day. She lived along a remote road surrounded by farmland and some homes. One day, we were walking to her neighbor's farm when we passed by a field that led up to a large forest. I remembered my grandmother was walking with determination when I asked her why that little girl in the woods was waving at us. She told me to keep my eyes on the road and continue walking, but I didn't. This time, the girl was beckoning from me to her and then pointing into the woods. I tugged on my grandmother's skirt, and she grabbed my hand angrily and continued walking faster to her neighbor's house. Once we got inside her neighbor's house, I asked again, "Who was that girl, grandmother?" Her neighbor's eyes got wide, and she excused herself to make us some tea. My grandmother hesitated before telling me the story of her youngest sister, Luana. My youngest sister was a beautiful little girl. Like yourself. She was full of energy and was always disappearing to go exploring. As children, our mother told us we were never to go in the forest alone and it could be avoided to do so. Luana came to me one morning with a mischievous smile and asked if we could take a walk. We walked along our dirt road until it hit the edge of the woods, and I suggested we turn back, and she simply smiled and continued walking. I called to her to come back, but she ignored me and continued walking deeper into the woods. I grabbed up my skirt and chased after her, calling her name into the woods. She continued to run deeper and deeper into the forest. I followed closely behind her, but the woods seemed to grow darker and thicker with each step. Eventually, I could not even see her tiny white body against the green and browns of the forest, and I noticed the sky was growing dark. I knew we had only been running for a short amount of time, yet somehow the day was gone. The sun was hiding beneath the canopy trees, and I knew not only was it going to get dark, but I had no idea where I was. I called for Luana once again, but no sound came. It was then that I realized the silence of the forest, unlike any I had heard before. I felt the panic creep up my spine and I began running back from where I came. I slowed when I saw again the pale white against the darkness of the woods. I saw off the trail was a large clearing. I don't know how I could have run past it without noticing it. The clearing was large and barren and seemed to be in the shape of a giant circle. And standing in the middle of it was my sister. She was smiling in her white dress, mud staining the bottoms, and her tiny hand clutched a tall man, if you could call him that. He was thin and pale like the trees marked by fire. He wore a black suit that seemed oddly large on his thin, harsh bones, and he held my sister's hand in a long, golden pocket watch in the other. The watch glinted against the sunlight, and I put my hand up to block its rays. When I awoke, I was alone in the field, and the morning sun was beginning to rise above the trees. I was cold and covered in dew and frost cracked beneath my feet as I went to stand. The woods remained silent, and yet I felt I was not alone. My sister never came home, so that is why you must never go into the woods. Perhaps it was my childhood imagination or the setting of the Romanian wilderness, but the story always stuck with me. My grandmother died when I was 10, and we did not get to travel to her grave until I was 17. She was buried on a beautiful hill that had one large tree and was surrounded by the farms she loved so dearly. We took a taxi to where her old home had been, and as we drove past those woods, I saw something. It appeared to be that young girl in the white dress, and this time, my grandmother stood holding her hand. It all happened so quickly, I can't be sure, but the feeling stuck with me. When my mother let out a deep sigh and said, "I still can't believe she had a heart attack in those woods of all places," and shifted uncomfortably in her chair. So, that just gave me chills. That was scary. Now, next we have one more story about the woods. A little bit longer. I love that last story. That was scary.
It's scary.
So, there was three of us that night. James, Daniel, and I. We had spent an entire month planning our holiday in the Hoyabashu Forest. We've read stories upon stories regarding the paranormal shit that had occurred within the locality, and we somehow considered it a fascinating idea to venture out there as a campout experiment. I was nervous nevertheless, but it didn't intimidate me whatsoever, and there was also three of us. Nothing could go wrong, as I thought. It was a four-hour-long ride full of energy drinks, obnoxious, loud rock music, and continuous reminiscing about the stupidest of shit from the past. We were hyped and purely pumped for the night ahead. Daniel was a persuasive guy and somehow managed to acquire a rifle from his Romanian buddy before we left. We were foreigners, Americans to be exact, but I didn't mind. I felt safer with it, especially with all the spooky shit I've read on the internet prior to even coming here. 5 p.m. "Matt, are you all right back there? You haven't spoken since we left the highway," James asked, sitting in the passenger seat, turning his head to face me. I yawned. "Yeah, I'm just really tired. I didn't sleep well last night." Truthfully, I was tremendously anxious, but I didn't want to seem like So I kept my head cool, my mouth shut, and I didn't say a word about the nightmares I had experienced that kept me up endlessly throughout the night. Regarding that, I also had a little voice in my head saying, "This is a bad fucking idea." But I didn't allow this to stop me. The fear, the suspense, the thrill, the creepy stories I could one day tell my kids, it was all worth it. So I continued to be silent. 5:32 p.m. "Daniel, park there," James pointed to an open plot. "Gotcha," he acknowledged as he pulled in. We stayed parked momentarily, debating on whether we were to deploy our camp here or move further into the woods. "If we put our shit here, we'll be closer to the truck if we need to leave quickly," Daniel insisted. "Yeah, but what is going to happen when there's three guys and a gun? We'll be fine if we went in," James argued. They both turned, regarding me as the official tiebreaker. "We go big or we go home, right? Let's just go in." "But close enough to the truck, just in case we need to sprint back," I answered boldly. They nodded in agreement, and thus we journeyed inward. I tailed behind Daniel with the rifle holstered onto his shoulder and an armful of supplies. I had the tent with me and James Warner behind me with the cooler in hand and our machetes. Once we declared that we were far enough in, we dropped our stuff and began unpacking the tent and bags for the nights ahead. This isn't so bad, I thought. There was nothing frightening at all. The woods felt like woods. Nothing more, nothing less. It was still day out, but I was at ease. 8 p.m. Hours went by as it continued to transcend into darkness. We were beginning to run low on wood, thus James and Daniel decided it would be a good plan to explore the area for firewood. I volunteered to guard the camp for any wildlife or any drunk locals that stumbled by and wanted our stuff. The moment those two vanished from my sight, things got weird and unsettling. I felt the chills slither up my spine as I sat there, alone on my own. I don't know how to explain it. It's like what primal humans felt thousands of years ago, that instinctive hunting shit that you felt whenever a predator was watching you. That's what it felt like, and I didn't like it. Then, some ungodly screech started laughing from within the woods. It sounded like a human, or a fucking fucked up creature mixed with another animal, just laughing in a screech. I stood up, knocking the chair onto the ground behind me. Standing there, clenching my machete for dear life, aimlessly looking for the source. I shook, breathing heavily out of fear, tears forming from my eyes. I was terrified. It kept screeching for several minutes until it suddenly just stopped. James and Daniel arrived shortly after with firewood and a necklace they had found while lurking around. "Hey, we got you a gift," they laughed and held up an old wooden cross necklace. "Put that away," I retorted. "Who was making that noise? Which one of you?" I shouted at both of them. "Whoa, man. What happened while we were gone?" I started mumbling, fumbling upon words as I desperately tried to describe what I heard. I don't know. It was some sort of screeching like a human mixed with some sort of thing. It went on and on and on. And James' facial expression changed, as did Daniel's. "Are you sure it just wasn't an animal or something?" "What the fuck animal laughs like a human for several minutes straight, nonstop?" I was panicked. I was so scared I could not control my anger. "I think we should just chill here instead." 9 p.m. We tried to laugh again, but each of us had a sense of fear installed within. We sat around the fire, talking with a calmness that is never heard unless something fucks with an individual mentally. We decided that we would not leave the camp without all of us together, nor without the gun with us at all times. "James, you still have that necklace?" I asked out of curiosity. "Yeah, it's right here." He tugged it out of his coat pocket and handed it to me. The wood was unlike any other. It felt unworldly to me, and the design of it didn't resemble any other type of cross I've seen. It was shaped like the ends were purposely split with weird lines engraved in it. "Where did you even find this thing?" "Examining every detail upon the mysterious item 6 minutes out from here. It was next to a stack of lumber." I stopped in mid-sentence. "The hell do you mean a stack of lumber?" Unsettled by this unmentioned detail, Daniel turned to him too, as if he wasn't aware of this. James sighed heavily. "We were out and I found the stack. I thought it'd be easier than spending the time to find the pieces individually. So I just took it with us, along with the necklace." I stared at the cross as he spoke, noticing an eerie detail about the rope. "Is that human hair?" Looking down in his hand. "Holy shit," Daniel shouted. "Throw that thing in the fire." I tossed it in the flames. "What the hell?" I crackled in fear. I began shivering as I realized how much of a mistake this was. 12 a.m. Hours went by. Tensions were high as we struggled to comprehend how crazy everything was. We all sat from across each other so we could see what was behind each one of us as a defensive measure. We continued drinking, hoping it would ease our anxieties, but the more we lingered, the more shit got freakier. The woods began whispering to us, faintly. Like you couldn't hear it unless you were extremely silent, but it was enough to freak us out. Daniel, you have your speaker with you, right? James asked. Daniel smiled. He said, yeah, I do. He took it from his bag and connected it to his iPod. Play anything. James and I said at the same time, hoping to drown the whispers out with the music. The fuck? Daniel frowned. What's wrong? I asked. Nothing's working on it. Suddenly, the whispers began playing through the speaker, louder and louder, damaging the speaker's audio to the point of static mixed with those ungodly whispers. Turn it off, James shouted. Daniel looked frightened beyond belief. It won't stop. James stood up violently and took the speaker from Daniel's hands and slammed it in the ground. Stop. He screamed as he began jabbing the little box with the machete, until finally rendering it destroyed. He stood there breathing heavily, afraid and startled. I think we should just go, I said. They both looked at me. Do you know how dark it is? We'll get lost trying to get out. Besides, there's only a few more hours until the sun comes up. 12:42 a.m. The fire was dying, as was our fearlessness from earlier. We need wood soon, Daniel whispered in a soft voice. James spoke up quickly. I'll do it. It was my fault that this happened to us. Whoa, that's not a good idea, I said. Yeah, and I'll also have to pee. Trust me, I'll be fine. Daniel held out the rifle for him to take. If you're going, take the rifle at least. James nodded and began walking into the unknown with his flashlight beaming in the void. 106. Where is he? Daniel questioned. Yeah, he should be back. We both hollered out into the darkness repeatedly. James, James. We both turned on our flashlight, scanning the area until finally he appeared from out of the dark with a grin on his face, holding a large stack of wood in his arms. Are you all right? You were out there a while. I got lost. Where's your lot? Tripped on a log and I broke it, I think. Get your ass over here. The fire's gonna die. He began lumbering forward with a slight limp to his step and a monotonous stare in his eyes. He began setting the pieces of wood one by one next to the fire, and Daniel and I stared at each other for a moment and then looked at James. Hey, you want to help me fix the tent? I think we didn't put the stakes in right. I quickly followed him as James continued to place each wood individually upon one another with full concentration, staring expressionless at the ground. As soon as Daniel and I were behind the tent, he began whispering, "What the fuck? That's not James." He held his hands in his head, or held his hands on his head. It is. It has to be. He tripped, remember? He probably just hit his head, or he's just stupid drunk. Bro, do you see him? That stare, the way he's placing the wood down? James would have just plopped it on the ground. I could see the terror in his eyes as he tried to remain calm. We've got to get the rifle back from him. Yeah, we should. We silently tiptoed to the edge of the tent and watched James. He stood there, motionless, except for the occasional twitch to his torso. Then he began laughing as he stared into the endless void. Daniel and I stepped back quickly and just stared at each other in shock. We hesitated on what to do, until finally, I made a dreaded decision to speak up. Hey, buddy, we're done. You all right over there? We heard the quick rustling of clothing, and right before us, he stood there grinning. Yeah, was remembering a joke. Good times. I forced myself to smile. Moments later, we all sat down again, forcing small talk. Daniel and I spoke the most as James sat there studying us, as if for the first time. James, where's your jacket? Daniel asked. I dropped it when I fell, he said, weird, with a twisted grin. The gun was leaning beside the log next to him. Oh, there's dirt on it, Daniel proclaimed. I should clean it. He smiled nervously. James stared at him, which lingered for several seconds until he smiled. Okay. 5 a.m. We stayed awake the entire time. Daniel and I were silent for most of the night, full alert in the tent, writing notes to one another as James proceeded to guard the campsite outside from animals. every 30 minutes or so, we'd hear him laughing that lasted for several minutes until he choked and began making some weird gargling sounds. We hid the machete from it in case it got any ideas to attack us. Daniel poked his head out of the tent quietly, watching as whatever the fuck it was twitching again, staring at the forest. "We're awake," Daniel announced as he emerged from the tent. It quickly stopped twitching and began picking up wood from the ground. "Just gathering firewood," it laughed. Almost the same identical laugh from yesterday when I was alone. My heart sunk into my chest. Daniel and I had begun packing everything up. We sent it into the woods to gather more firewood. "What do? Do we take it with us?" I asked. Daniel started whispering in frustration. "No, it can't come back. It's going to kill us. Don't you understand? It killed James. It took his body. That's not our friend." He turned the corner of the tent and waved me over. "Do you see that?" Gesturing to a torn up piece of cloth stained in red. "What is that?" "It was his jacket." It began walking back into the campsite again with more wood and a dead rabbit torn to shreds, half eaten, tucked in his belt. His expressionless face coated in blood, smiled, remains of white fur and gore entangled between his teeth. "I got us some food while I was out. Do you want some?" "No, thank you. We already ate." He stood there silently for several seconds until he replied once more with his fucked up, twisted smile and his bullshit, "Okay." 5:42. Everything was packed and ready to go. We had to find a way to distract him long enough for us to flee. Daniel nudged me as we were leaning against the truck, watching it. "Ideas?" he asked. "Why not just drive off now?" I suggested. "Because we don't know what it can do. Do you know how fast it is? If we just hop in the truck, it'll just rush up, break the windshield, and kill us both," he whispered. I stood quietly, momentarily thinking of a plan to finally rid ourselves of this thing. "Hey, James, we need firewood for the car. Mind getting some?" He smiled with blood stained across his sickly, pale cheeks. "Sure." As soon as he vanished, we quickly hopped in the truck and began turning out of the plot that edged the forest. We began driving slowly on the road, checking our surroundings, until it came back, standing from afar, smiling and ambling towards the truck. "Fucking go, Daniel," I shouted. He slammed his foot into the pedal, accelerating down the dirt road at full force. The whisper started playing once more on the truck's radio. It started to run with hands to its sides, screeching as we drove away. It smiled as it screeched, fucking smiling. Luckily, the truck was too quick for whatever it was, but we were safe as soon as the whispers died from the radio. We finally made it to the highway and began hauling ass to the nearest city. Daniel and I were safe. We never spoke of what happened to James, our friend. We really had no family or friends besides Daniel and I, so no one would question his disappearance, but we vowed to never return to that forest again. Never go to the forest. Sometimes I wonder what it's doing there, if it still has his body twitching and smiling as it wanders aimlessly into the dark, and I wonder if it remembers our faces too. There was three of us that night, James, Daniel, and I. And that's the end.
So what was it?
They don't know. It was something from the forest.
Shapeshifter? Skinwalker?
Sounds like it. It actually does sound like it. I hope that gave y'all some thrills and chills for our happy for our Halloween celebration. I'm so excited about Halloween.
Are you going trick or treating?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing, actually. Ashlyn will not tell me what she wants to do. She's wanting to do stuff with friends, and I'm like, we'll figure it out. So we know. So I don't know.
Okay
then. Anyway, you guys be safe on Halloween. Make good choices.
Keep it real.
Stay hydrated. Start to kind of layer up. And we will see you guys next Sunday.
Bye.
Bye.